Welcome to Christ Today, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for giving us life. Help us to be faithful to you, to give us understanding, and let us recognize what we should consider to do about the future. And we do pray in Jesus' name and amen. Well, I've been thinking about preparedness, and so I've been having a little list of things to consider, like 30 or so items, like having a flashlight in every room or bedroom, or slippers next to your bedside to protect your feet in case a window glass is broken, like if there was an earthquake. A gas main wrench is a good idea, and so is a water main wrench. A fire extinguisher, or several of them, is always good. Smoke alarms with spare batteries, a fire escape ladder for your upstairs rooms, a breathing mask for smoke, and of course, plenty of drinking water and food. Don't forget that. Or a manual can opener, snack foods, matches, and lots of spare batteries. Personal hygiene, extra clothes, extra glasses, an extra set of keys in case you need to give it to a neighbor or someone. Battery-powered radio, first aid kit with lots in it. Clothes for wet weather and for cold weather, including boots, blankets, and an extra sleeping bag, a backpack, maybe a tent. Water purification, definitely, but there are different types of water purification, so you kind of have to study that. Diarrhea medicine is another one. If the water's not purified, you can certainly have need of it. A camping type of stove with propane is good. Your insurance papers, proof of residence, paper and pencil, a Bible, some rope, a shovel. If you have a pet, pet food and pet items. Maybe even a radiation meter. Well, there's always things. There's always lists of things you can do. You have to kind of look at what do you expect, what kind of trouble might be coming your way. And then you make a list, and then you start fulfilling it. All the lists are inadequate, sort of. But you have to have some start, some place to start, and then you can add all sorts of things. But you have to have the general or overall orientation to what you want. I really hope that what I'm doing is getting you to think about some of the items that are necessary. All the lists can be improved, but it's just a start. And so, right along that line, I would ask a question of what should we be focusing our attention on in these days? Well, it's a big question, and what do? I think you prayerfully ask this question. And certainly, the spiritual guidance that we get from God is what we need too. And remember, Jesus loves you. It is said that Jesus loves you and he wants you to be happy. This is a main message of several churches and ministries. While this is true, please do consider that this makes you and your happiness the focus instead of looking at how do you examine God and through Jesus Christ, your focus. Because what is going on around us these days? Maybe you just should consider that first, and preparedness as a second or a third importance item of importance. We do want to consider how we can benefit others, like people you love, and even yourself, and how you can benefit other people around you who are not your family. The idea of Christian love is boundless, and we just have to figure out where does our place fit in that. So that's to think upon. Now, the April 1 broadcast of Christ Today had a good response, better than I expected. It was kind of an experimental examination of things that just might be and things I look at just and keep in the back of my mind. So I will remember to have thoughts and words along those lines also as we go along. And I am glad to receive your responses and your comments. Please, you can email me at prepareforgod@usa.com, and that's all lowercase, no spaces. I do like the USA in that little address because I like our country. But I have no affiliation with anything government-related. This is not a government address. It's just me personally. I don't have any affiliation with any church organizations either. So if you want to make any donations to this ministry, this program and what I'm doing on the radio, I would certainly appreciate it. My radio costs are, well, they're a bunch. And you can listen to the past broadcasts of Christ Today at christtoday.org and make sure you get on the KKXX page. You'll see that real big. So, well, I didn't mean to make a commercial, but I did. So now let's continue. These days, we do have troubles that we can see right in front of us, and we see hope. The future has possibilities of hope. Don't forget hope and troubles. But we'll take a few minutes to talk about the conflicts in the world, like North Korea, and a little bit about money and how our economy and inflation is doing. But first, we're going to talk about a few other things, like recognizing hope. Hope. Our hope is in Jesus, and we want to consider that in these days. We are in the end times. Now, what part of the end times? Everyone has to look and discern that for themselves. But if we look at Matthew chapter 24 and Luke chapter 21, we will see that these certain things have been foretold. And we can see things that we can consider preparing for. And they include earthquakes, famine, persecution. And already in our world today, in the last years and decades, we have seen there have been many who have suffered for their faith. They're Christians, and maybe we will suffer for this reason too. The timing of whatever is coming, that we don't know, but we are told that these things are coming. We can look at those chapters, and we can see that these things are coming. It's obvious. And you can look from the signs in the world, and we can see these things are coming also. But we don't know when. We don't know if it's near, just around the corner, or if it's far off. That we just don't know. But it just makes sense to me that we do consider what our future needs might be. And that's why I like to say, prepare. Prepare for what? Well, you only know when you examine that question, so examine it. I know there's lots of people who say, I don't need to worry about those things. God will provide. And so it is true, but it is also true that there are things coming. Do we not see the signs of trouble coming to us? We can see that trouble can come to us either personally or as a nation. Now, like I said, I do know that there's plenty of people who have no interest at all in preparing because they say, God will provide. Now, I wonder if those people would consider not going to the grocery store at all and just saying, God will provide. Well, I have heard of a Christian mission in Africa where every day they receive and eat manna. Well, if you believe in that, then you don't need to gather food or supplies for that just-in-case situation. No. You can pray for manna from heaven, too, and you can get it. But I don't know about that relationship. I only know about what I can do now. But manna has happened before. It can happen again. That is so true. But I think that there are things that we can do, and we should. Another thing that has happened before, and surely it will happen again, is that millions of Christians and Jews have intentionally been starved to death or otherwise killed. The number is well over 100 million in the last 100 years. Christian persecution is going on today. Just read an issue of The Voice of the Martyrs. That's a magazine, and the organization is the same name, Voice of the Martyrs. It talks all about this. And we can see that today, well, are we more deserving today than the people who lived in those yesterdays, those yesteryears? Are we special? Well, in a way we are, but in a way we just go along just like people do. So, and I have to say this again, because I believe in the preparation aspect of things. I urge you to think, to plan, and to do. And we all have different aspects of it. We all see things that are different and different importances, and we do different things, which is why we find it important to be a community. So what you do is completely up to you. After all, each one of us is free. Each one of us have individual choices that we make in life. But for me, I have seen all sorts of trouble in life, in the world, in places around me, remote places, different continents, I mean. And I remind you that trouble just might happen. And it just might happen right here, even to us. So think about it. Do something about it in advance, because trouble can be just around the corner, and it can be large or small. It can come fast, or it can come slow. Trouble can teach us good lessons, and trouble can draw us closer to Christ. And even in the midst of difficulty, there's many people who have hope, and we can see God's movement around us. And we can also witness to others in the midst of difficulty. Hope is such an important thing. This is something that we can demonstrate by showing the love of Christ. Not our love, but because our love is imperfect. Our love is small compared to Christ's love. We want to yield ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we want to show His love, that's the best love there is. And nothing about our own. Nope, we are insufficient when it comes to that category, wouldn't you say? Well, I would say. So, in these days, there can be problems, either big problems or small problems, and they can suddenly come upon us. Hope we will always have near us. But let's also get some supplies that we also have near us. Since there can always be some sort of trouble just around the corner. If you look in the world today, if you look in history, recent history or longer history, we can see that famines and economic depressions regularly have occurred throughout history. And in more than a few times, the Bible talks about a storehouse to draw from. Having a storehouse, and the outcome of a storehouse is very good, because, well, we need things. We need food. From a biblical viewpoint, I have looked at things, and I have looked at things from a secular viewpoint also. And I can only see that to have supplies is a good and reasonable thing to do. But that's for you to decide. You have to see what the real answer is for what you want to do. But like I said, there are many, many people who feel they do not need to be concerned about things like food and clothes. They don't need to be concerned at all. And where do we find a answer to that question in the Bible? Well, those people will talk about looking at Luke 12:27-29. And it says there, it talks about the lilies of the field, that they have no concern of what they wear, ... or what they eat. Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Dot, dot, dot. Sell what you have and give alms. Okay, I'm not reading the complete scripture, so you'd better look at it yourself. Yes, definitely. But you still get to answer this question for yourself. And the answers are up to you. The examination is up to you. But you get to start and you get to stop the application of Scripture and your understanding of it to your life. That's you. That's you get to decide that. What does apply to you and what does not apply to you? Well, that's for you to answer. Most people will not hear the part about sell what you have. They just look at the part that they want to see. However, I think we should really try to search the whole word. Look at the scripture in context. You know, there's another scripture that I sometimes look at or think about. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. So I ask, does this apply to you? Does this apply to all of us? Peace and safety. Well, for some reason, there's been many recent politicians who have talked about peace and security. They don't say safety, they say security. And I think this is because they do not want to say this, because the Bible says it. That's my take on it anyway. So I remember the ex-President Obama, he was saying peace and security. He said that 3 times, and 2 of those times were to a United Nations address. The ex-Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, said peace and security. I remember that one time. And the president before, President Bush, he said peace and safety also as he did public address or a speech. So peace and security is said today. And like I said, in the Bible it says peace and safety, but they're close. They're close. I bring up these matters so that you can consider various points of view and really why trouble might be coming. It might come quickly. It might not. We don't know. But just now, North Korea seems to be in many people's thoughts, and it is in my thoughts too. I think of it and the things that I've heard in the past. I wonder if we're going to have a nuclear, some kind of a contest or a war. Yeah, I do wonder about that, because I think back and I remember twice in past years, once about 17 years ago and once about 13 years ago, I heard 2 different men prophesy about North Korea and other nations that would attack the United States. So, yes, I was watching the news, and I am watching the news. It is kind of interesting. I would say sometimes, though, that the things that are most obvious do occur, and sometimes the most obvious things, things we would expect to occur, do not happen at all. And we say, why didn't that happen? But there's a parallel, and sometimes those things, when we look a little deeper, we do see things happening all according to Scripture. And it's a surprise when we look at it because we didn't see it the first time. But if we look a little deeper, it's obviously there. So, for instance, in these days, when we look at North Korea, when we look at the leader, Kim Jong-un, his body language looks to have resolve, and he does not seem to have any surrender in the way he stands or addresses the people around him. It's just a simple indicator. It's not that we can put a lot of weight upon it, but it's all indicators, and we have a situation that's uncertain in front of us. North Korea could be effectively disarmed by our military, and that would seem to end the situation, close down any conflict. But then, it also might happen that North Korea, years down the road, they could attack the United States anyway. They sure seem to have that desire. And don't forget, they have those two satellites that go over the United States every single day. And nobody knows what's on them, those two satellites. It's been speculated that there could be an EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon of a compact size on at least one of those satellites, maybe both of them. Who knows? But, we don't know, but it's a real possibility. It's one of those things that is hidden from our knowledge. Those two satellites that North Korea owns go over the United States every day, and they are 3 miles up there in altitude. That is the right altitude to launch an EMP attack from. So, you know, there's always possibilities. If it was an EMP attack, our electronics, our electric motors, our telephones, our electricity, they could all fail. And it's just a possibility. Like I say, I like to look at the just in case, the what if, and then make a little preparations for it. Now, I do remember prophecies, and I just always hesitate to talk about prophets and prophecies because it's a big question. It's just a big question, partly because there have been plenty of false prophets, and partly because prophecy could be an absolute occurrence of something that is prophesied, or it could be a warning about what would happen if things do not change. So it could be a pleading to say, have God's people change. So we do want to remember that a part of all of these things is for God's people to humble themselves and to repent. That's always a part. But what part about the prophecies? That I'm just puzzled by that. I really don't understand. And I urge you to pray about it and follow your own understanding. It's just something I think we can remember and pay attention to, but we don't have to follow any of it. Just realize it could happen. So I do pay more attention to these themes of prophecy if I hear more than one person talking about it. If there's several people, yeah, I'll kind of remember it a lot more. And so it does make me think about war and problems and who talks about war and who is a man of God, who is speaking prophetically. I don't know, but it's something I do think about. Like I said, I do think about a worldly point of view too. So, taking this another step, about Russia and China. I have heard prophetically that they would attack the United States and that there are some other nations who would join this attack with them. So who were the people who have prophetically spoken about this? There's some well-known people like Henry Groover, Dimitri Dudeman, Chuck Youngbrand, and even David Wilkerson has talked about some kind of a attack upon this nation. So these are men with some reputation, and I don't know that we have an answer to these things. We don't have enough specifics when they prophesy things, but it's just something I take into an account. It's not that I would say, yes, I believe it, or no, I don't. I just kind of remember it. I hold on to it. And the second thing to consider is that there is a worldly point of view, and from this world point of view, we can consider things. Looking at Russia, for instance, Russia is aggravated about the UN, United States, imposing itself into world affairs, especially in areas where we have the Russians' backyard is. there's areas where Russia has a strong Russian control or influence on commercial, trade, and political influence. And yet here we, the United States, are stepping into those areas. It's aggravating to them. And then we could consider China. China also does not like it that the United States is militarily imposing itself upon areas which have historically been in China's domain. So we have things about China and Russia, and they do oppose things about the United States in our philosophy and our way of doing things in the world. And we oppose them in certain ways, too. So all I mean to say is it is a matter which could grow in importance and difficulty. Another point about China is I remember seeing coverage about China's joint military conventions. This was over 4 years. And as I recall, it was 1999, 2000, 2001, and 2002. I have not seen any coverage since then. But what I remember seeing was their joint military convention was covered and spoken about by commentators. And it was so very notable that the speakers, who were pretty much mid-level officers, they spoke so strongly about wanting to go to war with and to crush the United States militarily. That made quite an impression on me. Of course, we don't know things, but it was clearly demonstrated that there were people in the Chinese military that wanted it this way. Well, I know there's a lot to take in, and how do we evaluate it? How do we verify things? This is a big question. You should look at everything. The things I talk about, too. Look at them. See what the indicators are. See if you can verify things or how it sits within your spirit. And prayer is always good. And you know my constant message is to be prepared, but for what and when? We don't know that. Because it seems like when we look at things in the Bible sense, God has a way of stretching things out in time. He draws out our expectations, and he draws out the time frame. That's the way it seems to me. And so the events don't happen in the way that we think they are. Sometimes they're centuries later, sometimes decades or years later. Well, it's just a question, because at some point it has to be the time for something to occur. Whatever that time frame is, we don't really know. We don't really see it. But it seems to me that the time is getting closer and closer. This is something each one of us has to examine and decide for our own selves. But I say, get prepared now. There are still things available. You can get supplies available. And so search your own understanding and make determinations as best you can about just what might be coming. You have to make assumptions and just think, what if, what if? Well, it seems to me that the more I look into this direction of what the possibilities are, the greater the possibilities I see of a serious difficulty coming our way. But of course, you must come to your own conclusion. You must see if you want to take preparedness steps or not, and what they should be. I was listening to a Christian preparedness expert, Joel Skousen, and he has done years of in-depth study. He has for years expected China and Russia to militarily attack the United States and use nuclear weapons. He has expected the time frame to be something like 2021. But just a few months ago, he moved that date up and said it could even possibly be in 2017. Yeah, that's this year. And he said this months ago before there was the North Korean situation. So it just makes me give a little more weight to why preparedness is important for right now. And of course, what's more important than that is our spiritual relationship with God. God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And so we need to practice that too. Be in prayer. Have that communication with God. Well, anyway, Joel Skousen, he's retired now. He keeps getting up in years, but he did see things in this way, and he was an analyst, and so he would analyze information, and he did that professionally in his life, and he continues, of course, to look at just the kind of things that where the world is going and what you can do about it. So I do pay attention to him because he's had practice in this area. Are his conclusions correct? Well, that is for each one of us to decide. So what are some other concerns? We always have the economy to be concerned about. And what can we do about our national economy? Well, kind of. We can pay attention to it and recognize that it is a problem because we still have that national debt of $20 trillion. $20 trillion. And the way I like to talk about this is to remind people that a million seconds is 12 days. A billion seconds is 32 years. A trillion seconds is 32,000 years. 12 days, 32 years, 32,000 years, million, billion, trillion. And so I think of that, and we have a $20 trillion national debt. All I can say is that's a lot. So in the economic areas, there's more and more people that see a dollar collapse coming. This year, in fact. And there are a few others who say, well, there will just be a decline of the dollar and its purchasing power. Well, I don't know that, but I do see what happens to some other countries, and I do very clearly recognize that if the dollar does collapse, we would go into a depression, a severe one, similar to the one of the 1930s. And it seems like that there is an eventuality of this that is unavoidable. Yeah, I don't see it. So what do we do personally? Personally, we secure our own little area. We eliminate any debt we have. And also, we consider what it takes to live, and that includes water, food, supplies, and supplies of all sorts. If you want to get something that retains its value, historically it's been silver, real silver coins, not the zinc coins that our U.S. coins are made of today. But you get something which has value that is recognized throughout the world. There are a lot of people who sees other things that they need, and that's something for each one of us to decide. Now some people will say, well, of course you have to have guns, and hey, you know what? You might need guns, I don't know. But I want to tell you one argument against guns, and that is spiritually. If you die, you know you're going to heaven because you have a relation with Jesus Christ. But if they die, well, doing the bad things that they're doing, they probably are not saved. They're not Christian, and they would then be going to hell. And you would be reducing their opportunity to repent. So, I'm afraid I don't have an answer here, but if you do, in fact, shoot a person, it's a huge burden to bear, and be prepared to dig a hole 6 feet deep. If the society does break down, that's what you'd need to do. Well, I hope you can avoid that kind of a confrontation. The world is full of unknowns, but there's some things we can do, though, to change the courses of our own life. So, again, going back to the economy, more and more voices are saying that an economic collapse is a very good possibility. And so what consequences would that have besides impoverishing the many people? Well, it's a matter of a historical outlook, and that war very often has happened after an economic collapse. Another thing that has happened is that a dictator would arise at some point after an economic collapse. Look at the dictators like Hitler or Stalin or Mao Zedong. They rose after troubled times. So I think of what is coming, and I have to think that we just might be in store for a special kind of collapse where the world collapses and a new worldwide currency is created. We'd probably use our local currencies like the dollar still, but it would have much, much, much less value. And that would begin the beast system. That is the mark of the beast. Now, it would probably take a couple of years to integrate every person with all of the computerization, the financial and the government records and entities. But there is something new on the horizon, and that is called the D-Wave quantum computer, which operates much, much, much faster than the mainframe computers that we have today. And so these things could really come about very quickly. So maybe we'll go to a digitalized money system. Who knows? We have money seemingly to disappear, and credit cards proliferate, or cash cards proliferate. There's quite a few people who have noticed that the banks want to discourage money to be either deposited or withdrawn, and they are asked and questioned by the tellers when that happens. So it's a question. Historically, there have been plenty of money collapses. And the first time a money collapse happened was in Genesis. Genesis 47:15, and that reads, "When money failed in the land of Egypt." Money failed. And we can only look at this and use our imaginations to figure out what it could mean. And today we could have this same old story happening with a new set of circumstances, but it's the same story. We could have a huge collapse which would bring a new system of money. Like I said, it could be the mark of the beast. Who knows? Well, God is calling for us, upon us, to be faithful to what we know, and of course to repent of our sins and follow Him. The world stands in greater opposition to God. And in my opinion, so does our nation. Who knows what'll happen, but I do think of Ezekiel 14, and I think about it when a nation, a country, sins against God, what happens? He talks about the four sore judgments of God, that is, the severe judgments of God. And the historical pattern is similar. Collapse, war, loss of freedom, that's the worldly judgments. And in Ezekiel, it talks about war, famine, wild beasts, and pestilence. And I like to think of it like this, that war, what does that mean? It can mean a national war, it can mean an internal war, or it can mean terrorism. It's all war. Famine, what does that mean? It can mean a lack of water, a lack of food, and even to the point of starvation. Wild beasts, well, that can mean a pack of wild wolves. Or, if you look back to in Noah's day, it could mean 8-foot giants, 14-foot giants. It's all there. It's a possibility. pestilences. And that could include funguses, plant funguses, or bug flu, flu bugs, or AIDS, or cancer. Those can all be pestilences, too. I don't know if you're just thinking about grasshoppers, but in the Hebrew language, those other things can all be construed as under the same heading, title, word definition. So remember, these are all thoughts. It doesn't mean they're correct, but they are some thoughts, and certainly you can have a listen to them and decide for yourself. Yeah, so those little bugs, those pestilences, they can mean a whole lot of different things. And it might even mean what we do with vaccinations. I know there's a lot of people who don't like to have any discussion about this because it puts you into another category, but vaccinations are something. There are people who say they only do good, and there are people who say they only do bad. So it's a question. It's a question. But we might as well listen and get another point of view. It could be right. There's people who claim vaccinations cause autism and autoimmune diseases, and in adults that the vaccines contribute to Alzheimer's. There's just a lot of things here. A lot is going on, and certainly we don't know what the real answers are. I think about an interview I heard on PBS, Public Broadcast System of Boston, and it was with Dr. Maurice Hilleman, and he was on the team that developed early polio vaccinations. This was a few years ago. It wasn't decades ago, but it was a while back. This is available to look up. Now, the point is there were they call it a monkey viruses or simian viruses, and there was one in particular, SV40, simian virus 40, the 40th one that was discovered. It was discovered to be living on the polio vaccine serum, and it was cultivated on one specific monkey kidney, which the vaccination had been growing upon. So that's how they did it. They still do things like that, and they still use the same cultures. But it turned out that this SV40 had been linked to promoting cancer in humans. Now, that was not known at the time the vaccine was developed, but it did get known, and I remember reading about this 30 years ago. And then there was a report. It was done in coordination with the CDC, Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, and it was a bulletin that got put up over the internet in 2013. The bulletin suggested or admitted that today millions of Americans have cancer because of the SV40. In that polio vaccination. And it's just so remarkable that when it's injected, there's the possibility that it could attach to one's DNA. And then, because it's attached to your DNA, it would be passed to your offspring. That is just so scary. So, information, the bulletin, was removed shortly afterwards, but it was there, and you can find it in archives that the CDC associated group did put that out. It's a big question. The vaccination question is one we have with us. It seems like people believe it or they don't believe it, question it or they don't question it. Very divided camps on this, two different sides. But I do have a little vaccination story that I myself can tell, and it's not about a direct cause and effect, but it just shows that there's a likelihood here. My wife and I had decided not to vaccinate our children, and we had this wonderful and caring family doctor. He convinced us to vaccinate our children. All at the same time, we had our four children vaccinated, and it was with the DPT vaccination. And the oldest had no effects at all, but the younger three, after 7 to 8 weeks, they came down with herpes. Herpes. It was obvious. And, you know, how could three out of four children come down with herpes? It doesn't make any sense. And the only connection was that DPT vaccination. I don't get it. I don't mind telling you I don't get it. But it is something. And there's other people who have talked about vaccines being contaminated. And the only way that vaccine can be contaminated is if it's done knowingly or intentionally, because it's a closed environment, or they have used a basis that was contaminated. All these things we just don't know. But we see examples, we hear testimonies. There's lots of people who talk about vaccine damage. And there's India. In India, the government stopped the United Nations World Health Organization from giving polio immunizations because they found out that that vaccination was directly linked to 320,000 cases of paralysis, particularly in children. Now, that was just a few years ago. Then India was then stopped the program, but they were forced to restart the program, or the UN World Bank said that they would cut off funds to India if they did not start the program up again. Hey, so often we don't know the full story about anything. Not these things either. Not about water fluoridation either. You know, the United States is the only nation in the whole world that adds fluoride to the water. Every other country makes sure that their water contains no fluoride, not natural fluoride and not added fluoride. Fluoride is linked to a reduction in people's IQs. And even there was a Harvard study that did a 10-year study, and it found that there was a 5 to 8 point drop in IQ in the study group. And so children in late adolescence are at the biggest risk, according to that study. So, you know, another point about fluoridated water is that in the last 100 years, there are some governments who would add fluoride to the water to make sure that the population remained docile. The Nazis did this when they occupied a country. This was done all over Europe, including Paris. And the Russians, they added fluoride to their water also in the Gulag prisons. Well, don't know, but it's a question. And fluoride does kill things. It's a very effective killer of bacteria and teeth, the bacteria in your mouth. But they say if that topical treatment is swallowed, it is to be considered a poison. Yep, there's a lot in that one. Well, the Bible tells us, be not deceived, and so often we are. All in lots of cases. These are just examples. Another example could be the 9/11, the two World Trade Towers complex there over there. There were three buildings that fell. They all collapsed in a free fall collapse. Even though only two were hit by a plane, the third building was also a free fall collapse. As I recall, it was 48 stories, and it was about 1,000 feet away from the two World Trade Towers. It was not hit by a plane, and yet it collapsed in exactly the same way. I've heard it said that jet fuel and furniture would have a furnace effect and create high heat. But there's plenty of people who will say that steel cannot melt with that. So who knows what the answer is? All I mean is it's a question. The architect of the World Trade Centers said that the World Trade Centers were designed to be hit by an airplane and survive just fine. I saw this only once on TV. He was interviewed right after 9/11 happened. but the interview seems to have disappeared. Yeah, and there's a question of the plane that hit our Pentagon. Well, we can only marvel that there was one hole in the wall, and it would not have fit the wings, but the wings disappeared. What happened to the airplane wings? I don't know, but I think it's kind of remarkable that all the 20 cameras in the area were suddenly not working. They were either turned off or had malfunctioned, even the private cameras in the neighborhood, which had been confiscated by government agencies. It's all simply remarkable. So, are we being deceived? Are we being dumbed down to not recognize things? Only time will tell, but I'm glad you are paying attention. We could be deceived in lots of ways. The money system is yet one another. Our national debt and what that means. There's problems. There's certainly problems. There's many people who are not stupid, they're smart, but they still don't recognize that our debt has to be paid back. Bankers know that, and somehow in history the bankers have always been paid back one way or another. Even after currencies have collapsed, the bankers still get paid back. And I like to recognize that even if we were to sell all the gold in Fort Knox, 8,000 metric tons of gold, we would only get $366 billion from it. And our national debt is 50 times that amount. 50 times. That's how much we are really in debt. And every citizen is the person who owes the money, not the government. It's the people who owe the money. And it comes out, if you divide our national debt by our population, including babies and the elderly, we come out to $75,000 of debt for each person. Wow! That's all I can say. And be not deceived. That's the other part. Be not deceived. We simply have to look at things and seek the truth. Try to understand what's going on around us. You know, it doesn't mean we will change our views. We might. We can be open to changing our views. But we should look and try to understand things biblically. It's a big book. It says a lot. But to read it, we should, because that's the book we are following. I remember I read it. I read it when I was in my 40s. I was not a Christian, nor was I a bad person, but I was certainly not a Christian. I read it and looked pretty interesting. I better read this again, I said. And I did. I read it a second time. And I realized that this book was true. This book was the truest book I've ever read. And I've read, I don't know, lots and lots, maybe thousands of books. So it was the good book. And so I remember reading another book at the time. It was a Christian-oriented book also. Just happened to be, because I read a lot. And that book talked about things that were evil. Well, no, I'm sorry. The whole book was about Christ and the historical connections between Hebrew history and Christian history. But there was one section, a very, very short section, that talked about evil in the world and why we need Jesus Christ. It was very short, but I did have a realization that if things were really evil like that, I wanted nothing to do with them, and I would go towards God and not towards anything that was evil. So I made that decision. It all came together at one time, and I became a Christian at that point, and am still to this day. So I think it is important for us to realize, be not deceived is in there for a reason. Don't be led astray by your lusts or by anything that could be considered in God's eyes as a something that is bad. Don't be led astray by bad information either. You have to look, you have to discern, you have to seek out what the answers are. There's lots of things that we are told that are incorrect. Smoking. In the 1950s, there was lots of commercials on television that talked about smoking being a good thing. Even medical doctors were saying that they were on commercials promoting a certain brand of cigarettes over another. Can you imagine that? A medical doctor recommending a certain brand of cigarettes. And we have that same kind of thing today. We have people who recommend or elevate a product, and it doesn't make sense as time goes on. There's another problem that we have, and that is radiation in the world. That was once accepted. That was once just fine, to have a radiation machine and x-rays and look at your hands and do whatever you would like to look at. And it was fun. This was even at the World Fair, you could see that. It was just for fun. You look at your bones, the bones in your hand. It was, but now we know that radiation is not good. Radiation has many things which are not good about it. And we have our military projectiles. They are spreading depleted uranium throughout the Middle East. And there is a high number of birth defects because of that. It's not widely known or discussed, but it is true. So we look back on that. Do not be deceived. It has many areas we could look into. We could look into UFOs for that. What is that? I don't know. There's lots of that. But I do think it's a lesson that there is a UFO deception. And I like to think of those couple of UFO people who were once very involved in reporting UFOs. There were two of them, about 3 years apart. They said that this UFO phenomena is very powerful. Once you are selected and drawn out, there is no escape, none, except when you call upon the name of Jesus Christ. They found that in their research, and they were asked questions about UFOs, but still they were able to just get between the lines that they had become believers in Jesus Christ because they found the name of Jesus would stop a sick UFO experience. So I think that's worth just keeping in the back of your mind too. Jesus is powerful. Jesus, the name of Jesus. So all these things we can pay attention to. Like I said, be not deceived. We don't want to be deceived. And please recognize that I talk about all these things that really are potential problems on the radio because I want them examined. I want us to see how we can overcome these problems, what we can do to prepare for that just-in-case situation. And we need Jesus. We do need Jesus. We want to have a free society where we are free to live, where we are free to worship God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. That's what we want. So I thank you for listening. I am very glad to have this opportunity to speak over the airwaves and to remind you that you can listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to that www.christtoday.org. Look for the KKXX picture on it and you can get there. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. God has everything under control. God loves us. And each one of us has a place in the kingdom. God has everything under control. Rest in His love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name and amen.